Hey everyone, it's Rachel.
And it's Megan.
And we're digital producers for BravoTV.com. And this is The Daily Dish from 30 Rock in New York City. Today is an exciting day for Real Housewives of New York super fans. Because a former housewife stopped by the offices the other day. Alex McCord.
All the way from Australia.
She brought Francois with her.
And he's giant.
He's like a fully grown man-child.
Yes.
It was eye-opening. It was amazing. We talked about Scary Island and Morocco and why in the world she moved to Australia. That's coming up. But first, we have The Real Housewives of Atlanta, part 3 of the reunion.
And we talked to Robin Dixon from Potomac.
That's right, about her marriage to Juan.
Yes. Well,
yeah.
Her non-existent marriage, kind of marriage,
relationship. Friendship, co-parenting, all of it.
And then, of course, Roni and Southern Charm.
Yes, because, so, Shep talks to us about his new show.
Yes, Relationship.
So excited. So let's go.
Yes. But let's start with The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Because it happened. We now all know who told Portia about the drugging. I'm so happy that you all are now in our truth bubble. Because it was really hard to keep that
under wraps. It's hard keeping a secret that big.
Right. Because it colors everything.
I mean, okay. So we don't totally get into it in this reunion.
No.
We're gonna like see the fallout of realizing it was Phaedra that told Portia this huge accusation about Candy and drugging her.
I can't believe it still. Like, even as you say it, I'm in disbelief.
But so what were your first reactions when you heard it?
When I first heard it, I was shocked that Phaedra would have gone so low. The fact that it just kept getting worse.
Yeah.
And no one said, like, hey, no, it was me. It's really not a big deal. Let's make this not a big deal.
Right.
It just got so bad.
I thought two things. First, Phaedra must really hate Candy.
Yeah.
Two, is she not really Portia's friend?
I think that's the big question. Like, was she using Portia the whole time? Is frickin' Frack a facade?
Yeah.
I don't know. But it really upsets me.
Well,
because I think Portia is really her friend.
Oh, totally.
Portia, I don't think, is a manipulative person.
Right.
I think that she can get loud. I think that she can say what she wants to say and, like, you know, obviously has a lot of passion, but I don't think that she is manipulative.
But we're totally getting ahead of ourselves.
Right.
Like, we need to talk about Peter.
What was up with Peter? I have a feeling maybe there were some cocktails at lunch.
I know. Like, I was definitely getting a James Kennedy vibe.
Yes, yes. Very James Kennedy. I lived for it, though. Like, every time he just, like, point blank would be like, why isn't Todd here? Huh, Portia? And I loved when he went in on Bob.
And if I was his friend, I would want to punch him in his face over and over. Okay? I'm telling you, I was sickened. I promise you.
Oh, that was weird. I mean,
yeah.
I totally understood it, but he said it with such, like,
passion. Yeah. But I was happy to see another man there comment
right.
on it and be like, this is terrible and I'm ashamed by you.
Why do you think he walked off stage?
Why did Peter just walk off?
When Cynthia was like, why are you leaving? He was like, I just can't be here anymore.
Like, was he really so upset?
Incensed?
Or
yeah.
Was he bored?
Either way, it could go, I think. I think that maybe it was just all very overwhelming. And maybe this is our last time we're going to see Peter, and he knew that.
I didn't really even think about that.
Yeah,
I guess that's true.
He was like, this is my last reunion.
Oh,
like,
God.
So upset about it. I don't want it to be. I love Peter. I loved when Candy, like, I think either last season or two seasons ago, put out on her Instagram a graphic of the opening titles with him holding a peach.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, I can't imagine Peter not being around.
We shall see.
We shall.
Kenya and Portia, wow, really went at it.
Yes.
Again.
Yes,
I mean, I'm never surprised because they just truly do not like each other.
Right, no.
But again, so much passion.
Yes, so much.
Toodles, bitch.
Toodles, bitch.
I'd rather leave than do that. Toodles, bitch.
Ah, so good. But it was like when she's talking to Shamia and Kenya had to get all up in there. And even Andy was like, you interrupted her.
You interrupted her.
No, I was talking to her. I didn't interrupt her not one bit.
Okay, well, she was speaking, so let's just let her
finish.
Yeah,
well,
speaking.
I'm not going to sit here and let somebody tell me to shut the f*** up.
Oh, like, that was crazy.
Andy is getting, like, so in on the drama.
Yeah.
So, and then Shamia. Oh, my God, we haven't talked about Shamia yet.
I mean, good for her.
I agree. She, like, came ready.
Friends of housewives don't always bring it to reunions.
No, they don't. Sometimes, I mean, this could be a make or break moment for Shamia.
That's true. I mean, I certainly, as a fan, want to see more of her next season.
Totally. And we know that it's coming back now.
Yes.
So, who knows?
If you guys didn't see, there's like a million shows that we announced are either coming back or are new. So, go to bravotv.com to see that full list.
Yes.
I also found myself cringing a lot during this reunion.
There's a lot of vagina talk.
Yeah.
We'll say.
Yeah. Vagine, as the French might say.
Yeah, just going in on whether or not somebody wanted to do whatever to somebody else's vagina, I was like, whoa, we're getting like in here.
And then I can't say it. I can't. We'll play the clip.
I can smell it from where I was standing. Anyway. Hence the deuces to you, bitch.
As Grace mentioned, that it's just not nice for ladies. It's not a good lady-to-lady comment.
No, no. Sisters, we gotta stick together.
And also, it just reminded me that, like, Brandy Glanville is now, like, being sued by Joanna Krupa for making the same comment.
Right. Brandy is still being sued by Joanna? That's, like, still
happening?
I think
it's still ongoing.
Oh, my God. That moment was crazy.
On Watch What Happens Live.
Well, Muhammad did tell me that her pussy smelled.
Brandy Glanville knows how to bring it to Watch What Happens Live.
Right. Because she did that. She threw wine in Jeff Lewis's face.
Right, and then, like, turned from the cameras and, like, cried with her back to them. Brandy Glanville never disappoints.
I miss her.
I know you do. Never say never, Maya.
I know.
But next week.
Next week.
Is when it all happens. I love that moment. First of all, the lies, the lies, the lies.
Right. The lies, the lies, the lies.
It's like it gives me so much life. I just want to say that all the time. But then also, I loved when Candy turns to Andy and she's like, what do you think about all of this?
What do you think about what just happened?
What do you mean?
What do I mean? What did you think?
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Because it's just so genuinely shocked. To, like, she wants to know what other people think. She's like, I don't even know what to think.
Right, because, I mean, he certainly seems surprised, too.
Right.
This wasn't something he, as executive producer, knew about.
No, and from what we know from our fellow producer who was on the scene, nobody knew. Like,
right.
Production didn't know. Nobody knew. So it was like this bomb was just... I wonder if Portia knew that when she said that it was going to be such a thing.
Right.
Because she's like, I'm not going to talk about it, so I'm going to let Phaedra talk about it, who told me.
But she
thinks
she said it. No, she said it in a way that was like, she knew this was coming, and she was prepared with an answer. Do you know what I mean?
That she made sure Phaedra would be prepared with an answer?
Yeah, well, it's just like she said in a way like, I can't speak about this. So I'm going to let my attorney Phaedra say it. Like, she knew it was coming.
Right.
So, yeah.
There's just so many good sound bites or, like, shots. I love when Cynthia's face is just like, like, you can't see my face, but it's amazing.
Potomac was great this week.
Mm-hmm.
I was fascinated seeing Karen's mom.
I know. I loved when she was being super shady to Ray. But she was like, Mom, who's older? Are you or Ray? She's like, Ray! Yeah.
She is just this tiny, adorable woman. And Karen and her sister look so much alike, too.
They look so much alike, and I loved that it was someone that could kind of, like, be on Karen's level of shade.
Right.
Or almost, like, outshade her. And I was like, okay, I see where you get it.
Yeah.
It's all in the family.
It's all in the family. You know, we talked briefly before about Shamia being a friend of who just really brought it. What did you think of Gigi?
I mean, talk about bringing it. I loved when she just... point blank told Giselle and Cal, like,
If you whisper in folks' house, that's kind of rude if it's about them. Yeah, it's rude.
Oh, dang. She's just going in.
Also, it was crazy because, so they're at Monique's home, and what Giselle and he were saying was very, mild, right?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even bad.
No, it was more like,
it's a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Like something
like
that.
Yeah, it was like very innocuous to get that upset, but it's like, that's where that relationship is.
Right.
It's like, they do not like each other. So Monique was ready to, like, take her down at any moment.
That's what a good friend does.
Yes.
I have a question, Rachel.
Yes.
Who would you say is your favorite friend of?
Ugh, what a question. Well, Faye Resnick, of course, is right up there.
The morally corrupt Faye Resnick. Corrupt.
And then I realized, oh my God, that's who it is. It's Faye Resnick. The morally corrupt Faye Resnick.
Because she really brought us part of The Dinner Party from Hell, one of the best episodes of Housewives of all time.
Which probably brings me to my favorite, which is Alison Dubois.
Ugh.
I can tell you when she will die and what will happen to her family. I love that about me.
Ugh, she would be my second choice, I think. It's so hard to choose.
I know. We've had so many. Because, you know, Kim D, Kim G.
Kim D and Kim G.
From New Jersey.
Yes.
From Atlanta, you have, like, Miss Lawrence.
Which, by the way, I had to recently look up a lot of clips about that big fight at the posh fashion show when Danielle gets her hair ripped out of her head.
Right.
Or her extension, let's be clear.
Yeah.
I was watching that scene recently, and it's really Kim G that's like, Danielle, come talk to Teresa. Danielle, don't you want to come talk to Teresa? Danielle, come. So without Kim G, I don't think that moment would have happened.
I know.
Like, she's really instigating that moment.
Do you think there's a strategy behind being a friend of?
Oh, like you have to be the instigator?
I mean, maybe.
I think that maybe sometimes you come harder for your friends than yourself. Like, sometimes you stick up for your friends more than you would even yourself. Or, like, when your friend's like, oh, I'm so ugly. You're like, no, you're beautiful. Like, you see more in them, or you stick up for them more.
Right.
So I think that is maybe what happens with the friend, though.
Totally. I could see that.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happened with Gigi. Gigi.
The other drama from this episode was definitely Ashley, like, really butting into Robin's relationship with Juan.
Right, well, we saw her do it last week with Eddie.
Right.
And, like, want to meet Eddie and, like, bring it up at the hookah. And then I didn't get why Ashley didn't just bring it up to her at that dinner at Oz when they were talking.
Right.
Like, that would be the moment. But
yeah.
Instead, she goes around and asks Giselle about it. And then
who's
brings
Robin's best friend.
Right, and brings Karen into the situation. And I just am like, she's like, Karen, come over here. We're talking. And I'm like, no, why? Talk to Robin. If you're really that concerned and you're her friend, talk to her.
Right. And as Robin says, like, when she finally does talk to her, she was like, Juan and I aren't together, so it's not cheating, you know?
Right, right.
And that can be kind of confusing to viewers because clearly in this episode we see them looking
together.
So together. And they just seem to really, like, not only like each other, but, like, have a flirtation still.
Right.
But we talked to her about Juan and what it's like to be a real housewife, because this is so new to them.
We are here with the lovely Robin Dixon.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Oh, we were so excited. So I wanted to kind of jump in with you and Giselle, since that seems to be kind of a big part of the season.
Mm-hmm.
How did you guys meet? I know you guys kind of go far back and are pretty ride or die for each other.
Yeah.
So how did that happen?
So we actually met through Charisse. Both of us, Charisse and I have known each other the longest out of all of the cast. So I met Giselle probably about, I don't know, maybe 6 years now, years ago. Charisse had invited both of us to one of her charity events that she always supports. And so we were both at her table and we're sitting right next to each other. We never met, didn't even like introduce ourselves. Like we just, you know, sometimes you like end up sitting next to someone and you just start like cracking jokes and talking and whatever. And you're like, wait a minute, I don't even know what your name is. And so we're sitting there and we're like, just laughing the whole time and cracking up. And we're like, oh, what's your name? And finally we introduce each other. And in that moment, we realized that, like, we kind of knew each other or knew of each other because she was from, she had spent a lot of time in Baltimore with her ex-husband, and I'm from Baltimore, and she would get a lot of people asking her if she was related to me because we resembled, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So
nice.
Exactly. And so she had always, like, knew about me, and then I knew about her because of her husband, her ex-husband. So anyway, it was like we instantly kind of had that, we hit it off, we instantly had that connection where we're like, oh, we kind of, like, already should know each other, or we should have known each other. And we just, like, you know, you can put us in a room together and we'll just crack up and have a good time and find laughter and humor in anything, and we get each other. And you know, she doesn't, like, I know a lot of people kind of get a little, I don't want to say intimidated, but maybe offended by some of the stuff that comes out of her mouth. I think it's funny. So.
is funny. Yeah. So there was no hazing then.
Oh, no, not for me. See, no, that's the thing. I'm not going to let her. It's like, if she tries it.
So maybe she tried and then it just didn't happen.
Maybe she tested me and I didn't even know, because I'm like, I'm not the one.
So you guys have wrapped filming for season two,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So how long has it been?
We wrapped at the end of July.
So
of 2016.
Yeah. What is that like? The period where you're done wrapping, but the reunion hasn't started.
Yeah, it's like the twilight zone, because you're like, okay, I don't know what's next. I don't know. You know, it's just weird. I mean, just even amongst, like, the relationships amongst the women. And then, you know, we want to kind of try to move forward, but then we know that we have a season, like, the season's going to air and it's looming, and then, like, bad blood is going to kind of come up again, and people are going to get mad at each other again. So it's like you go through, like, these makeups and breakups even off camera, because we might break up on camera and then make up on camera, and then you're good, because, you know, when we're not filming, we're like, we might hang out every now and then the show comes back on and you're like, what, she said that, and you know, that's why I can't stand her, and, you know, all that type of stuff. And so I know Charisse is going through that right now with Giselle. Oh.
So were they good going into the reunion? I mean, going into the season, rather.
Okay, going into season two, no, they were horrible.
Oh,
like, okay. To the point where I thought that they would never be friends again. But during the season, we get to a point where they're actually, like, really good. Like, they're having fun together, and, like, the three of us can have fun together again.
So when you wrapped, it was, like, all good, and then the season started again.
And then the season started, and, you know, like, Charisse was able to see things that Giselle said to me in scene.
Right.
Or in her confessional, and then now she's, like, you know, hates her again. So.
Do you guys ever watch episodes together?
No.
Is there a lot of texting that goes on while you're watching the episodes?
So a lot of times Giselle and I will download afterward. So, like, we might call and kind of download on an episode. And even sometimes Charisse and I will. Charisse, for some reason, always, like, you know, we get the email to us in a file. And for some reason, she always has trouble opening them.
So I can attest to that.
She'll call me and be like, have you watched the show? I can't open it. And then I'm like, okay, hold up. Let me see. Like, what do you, I'm trying to, like, walk her through and stuff.
God bless you. Yeah.
And as I'm doing it, I'm like, okay, well, if you don't get to open, this is what happened. And I'm like running down everything. So
it's so funny. You've gotten a lot of unsolicited relationship advice, both from the ladies, but I have to imagine from fans too.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah.
Has there ever been a good piece of advice?
Has there ever been a good piece of advice? I think, well, on the show, this past episode, my hairdresser, I think, gave really good advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do appreciate her advice, because she has been there. Like, I've been going to her since, like, 2003, before I got married, and she's just really a grounded person, and she's been married to her husband since we were in similar situations, because they got married, like, they started dating in, like, high school, and so she can relate to the length of, you know, just mm-hmm. being with someone at such a young age, because I think it really develops more of a sense of family, and that's what it is between Juan and us. We've known each other since, I mean, Juan and I, we've known each other since high school. And so we're family. Like, right. we're, you know, that's like, I don't, I mean, I'm not going to say he's like my brother.
No, I totally know what you mean. Yeah, because I'm married too, and it's just, you know everything about each other to the point that, like, it just doesn't compare to any other type of dating relationship.
Right, exactly. So for me, I'm like, you know, I appreciate having that type of history and that type of depth in, you know that you genuinely care for someone and they genuinely care for you. I mean, there were times, like, yes, when, like, we went through our divorce and things leading up to it, like, I hated his guts, but I always wanted the best for him.
Right.
And so for me now, it's like, I always want the best for my kids. And I think, you know, supporting Juan, like, I mean, he's building his career. And I feel like in supporting him, that's also supporting my kids because, you know, I'm helping their father to be the best that he can be. But unsolicited, I mean, have I ever, but so Shirley's the best relationship advice, I would say. And it's, and it comes from a sincere place. It's not being nosy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I appreciate the advice from people who it's more like they just care about me and they care about us and they care about our kids, not just because they're like, oh, you need to go date and you need to go, you need a rich man to fly around the world. And like, no, like, oh, that's, I'm good, you know?
So many celebrity couples now are doing this whole, like, healthy co-parenting thing where the kids stay put in the same house.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you're kind of a trendsetter.
How did that?
Like Ben and Jen?
Yeah. Is that what they're... You did it.
They saw me doing it. They're like, you know what? It works for them.
So how did that develop? Because that's not something that, like, you know, growing up my parents' friends did, you know?
Right. You know what? I don't. For me, I grew up in a two parent household, and Juan grew up completely different. But he always knew that he wanted better for his kids, and so I just think, you know, when you can put, like, your selfishness aside and really understand, like, what you do for your kids. I mean, my kids are still very young, and so if I have to sacrifice for a number of years to make sure that they come from, like, the healthiest place possible, then that's what I want to do. And so, you know, I don't know, maybe people are putting more value in just, like, well, I don't know, I mean, this world is, like, crazy today, right? I don't know how much values people have, but I think people who do care about, you know, their children and they want to put values into just the what it means to be a family.
Right.
Because, like, everything's just so superficial these days. And so if you can give them that kind of core sense of family, I think you're giving them a great start to life.
Right. What does Juan think about having, you know, your marriage on the show and it being so public?
He's not comfortable with it. It's very interesting. So it's like in two ways. Like, one, he understands that by, you know, sharing our story and being very honest and open with it, he understands that we are in turn maybe helping people who maybe are in a similar situation. Or if there's two exes who can't get along, well, maybe we can help them understand, like, no, it's okay, you can get along. And so he understands, like, that there is something powerful in what we're sharing, but he's also not comfortable with it personally, because it's just it is kind of awkward to, like, just, you know, put all your business out there to be scrutinized and interpreted for the world, you know, because, you know, somebody had said to him one time, like, this was after episode 2, and a really close female friend of his said to him, well, I don't understand. Why doesn't Robin want to be with you? Because she said you want to be with her and she doesn't want to be with you. I was like, Juan, I didn't, because he doesn't watch the episodes.
Oh.
I said, Juan, that's not what I said. I said, you know, I'm like, it's like she just totally just, like, chopped my words up. And, like, I, you know, I put a little more thought into what I say. And so, you know, it's kind of not comfortable for him when it just leaves the door open for interpretation.
Why doesn't he watch?
I don't know. I think, well,
I can send him a link too.
I would actually rather you not. It's actually a good thing that he doesn't watch. I was watching the scene with my hairdresser when I'm talking about our relationship, and he walks in the room at that very moment.
You're like,
right? And, like, I didn't want to be shady and, like, stop it and, like, you know, pretend I was doing it. So I just let it play. And he was like, it, like, really, like, it did something to him, but it almost did something positive because, like, as you know, I'm in New York and he's been with the kids yesterday and he's with them today. And he's like, oh, I took them to the park and, you know, I took them to see some friends and we did this and we, you know, so it was like, he really was like, okay, I'm going to start just really doing more and we're going to clean up, you know, today's Monday, they're out of school today. We're going to clean up and I'm going to make the kids get involved. And so I think it almost like did something for him to let him know, like, okay, you got to step it up, you know?
He needs to watch the show.
Yeah, right. So he needs to watch the show to find out what I'm thinking, to really find out how I feel, because I won't tell him in person. No, I'm joking. But
speaking of season one and season two, we were talking about it earlier. What has there been a big difference for you between the two seasons? Or
yes, OMG. So season one, like once we started filming season two, I realized that season one was such a tease for us. It was a breeze. It was so surface, you know, because I understand you have to just introduce the town of Potomac. You have to introduce the women. You have to introduce why we know each other and stuff like that. Season two, it was like, okay, time to get into like the nitty gritty and peel all these layers back. And they just wanted so much more from us. Mm-hmm. And you know, I guess we thought it was going to be more of the same from season one. And I think all of us, it took us like a couple of weeks to realize like, oh, crap. Like, this is hard. It's really not easy. So it's just, you know, just opening your lives and being like so open with it and, you know, giving some people something interesting to see. It's a challenge.
Yeah. I know that when you guys were filming season one, you didn't know yet that it was going to be a Real Housewives. What was your reaction when you found out?
Oh, my God. So when we had a conference call and I was at the gym and Juan and I were at the gym, we were working out and I go to this conference call and they're telling us, Steven Weinstock, the president or owner of our production company, he says, I have good news and I have bad news. And he said, the good news is that you are the Real Housewives of Potomac. And we were all like, oh my God, holy crap. Like, are you serious? Like, it was just like, what? We were like, what? And then he said, and the bad news is that you're the Real Housewives of Potomac. Because he's like, you know, this is like a whole nother animal. But I literally, after we got off the call, like, I was shaking because I was like, this, like, you know, I never like dreamed of being in this position or on a reality show or anything like this. So it was something that like was just, and honestly, to be honest, when they casted me for it, the whole time I thought it was a joke. Like, I didn't really believe it was happening until like the cameras were like really in my house. And I was like, oh, this is really serious. And so then when they said it's the Real Housewives of Potomac, I was like, wow, like it really meant a lot because it meant that the network really approved of us to put that franchise label on us. And so it was very overwhelming, but exciting.
That's so cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And look at you now.
Look at me now.
Real Housewife of Potomac.
Yes.
It's time to talk about Southern Charm.
Mm-hmm.
But first, a word from our sponsor. Today's episode is brought to you by Jeff Lewis's breath spray. He obsessively uses that. He was in the office doing an interview, and like, it wasn't like he was trying to be funny. He was completely unaware he was doing it. He's in the middle of talking on camera and just grabs it and like uses it.
I wonder how much they have to edit it out
during
the
show.
Yeah. I'm sure he does it too in an interview on the show.
I also, because, like, they put alcohol in mouthwash and mouth spray. So I'm like, how much does he go through and does he ever get a little buzzed?
Well, you know, he likes his 5 o'clock martini.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It's coming back.
Yes, and now Jeff has a baby.
Yeah, so much. Like, times are changing.
Yes, so I can't wait to see what Flipping Out brings with his babe.
All right. We need to talk about Catherine and her conversation with
Jennifer Snowden.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like they hadn't seen each other since that reunion.
Right. So let's
talk about the reunion. What Catherine is so upset about is that Jennifer Snowden starts crying and Thomas handed her his hanky.
Right.
That's what this is about?
Right. And Catherine, as we all saw, was a little heated at that reunion. Right. So I think she was maybe taking everything the wrong way. Because Jennifer herself in her conversation in this episode was like, I was in a moment where I was pregnant with my baby was not well. I wanted compassion from anyone at that moment. I wanted to turn to you and hug you at that moment. So, right. Of course I took the handkerchief from Thomas.
I just think it's crazy. Like, if you and I had not spoken for months, and during that time, you had given birth to a baby who needed brain surgery, that would, like, first of all, I would have reached out to you. I just don't understand where Catherine's mind is.
Right, because during that scene, she's just sitting there, no emotion. And then in her interview, she was like, she was being very manipulative to me in that moment.
Because she cried while talking about her baby.
Right. I was like, Catherine, this is not going to be a good look for you.
I know. I'm a huge Catherine fan.
Me too.
No, Catherine, not good.
No, you have to have some compassion.
Yeah.
She was just so cold.
And as someone with children, too, moms tend to be more sensitive to other moms.
Right. I was thinking, like, you have kids.
Yeah.
Don't you get it?
So, do you think that's it for Jennifer? Are we...
No, I think she'll come back.
But probably not as Catherine's friend?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that they're friends anymore. I think that was kind of like put the nail on the head. Because I think what Catherine wanted was, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I did that. You're totally right. Let's talk about you. I'm so sorry. But that's not what happened. I don't know if Jennifer could have really done anything, though. I think she was just so upset about it.
Yeah, she came in just like ready to end it.
Yeah.
My other favorite part of this episode was definitely Naomi.
Oh, yes, yes.
I mean, everyone says, like, to Craig, don't screw this up. Like, Naomi's the best thing. And she continually proves why people say that.
Right.
Which is she's just, like, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting her master's. She speaks French fluently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What more could you ask for?
Right, and I loved at the top of this episode when he was like, everyone says Naomi's great, but I hope she appreciates how great I am.
Like, I'm a pretty good catch. It's silly, but, you know, I'm a good guy. I'm faithful. I know how to do a whole bunch of weird, random stuff. You know, I hope she feels as lucky about being with me that I think she should.
Like, I was like, Craig!
Because why? You're pretty, right. And you fix things around the house.
Well, I've been pretty, like, Team Craig up until this dinner with Naomi, because I think he's living the best life, just hanging out with his cat.
Totally.
So if I could do that, I would do that. I was really upset everyone was giving him a hard time about sewing, because I was like, if he wants to sew, let the man sew.
Right.
And then I also have been like, who is Shep or anyone else to judge for the fact that he hasn't
totally,
taken
no,
the bar?
Totally, no, for sure, 1,000%.
Especially Shep, who doesn't have a job.
But still, he needs to appreciate Naomi.
But no. That all being said, this dinner proved, no, Craig is being kind of ridiculous. When she just point blank had to ask him about 3 times, do you want to practice law? Do you want to practice law? And he'd be like, I can't answer that if I haven't taken the bar. Why even take the bar if you don't want to practice law? Why even just
right.
pick a lane and go with it?
Right. So I feel like maybe what he wanted to say but couldn't get out was, I don't want to say, yes, I'm going to be a lawyer and then I don't pass the bar and I can't be. But for whatever reason, he was too emotional to like.
Right. And then he said the ill-timed.
I think you're being kind of silly and ignorant, and you're acting kind of dumb.
Ugh. Her reaction to it was amazing.
Yes.
Really?
Well, you keep...
You're gonna call me that right now when you're the one talking in f***ing circles, not making any sense?
Because you're asking a question that doesn't make
Craig,
any sense.
I will get up from this table right now if you don't apologize to me. You don't get to talk to me like that.
Yeah, Craig, you don't get to talk to her like that.
No, and are you going to pass the bar or not? Because you better get on it, because Naomi's amazing.
Yeah, stop embroidering and study for the bar. But we actually found out recently that Craig did pass the bar exam. Woo, woo. I bet Naomi is so happy and probably sighed a huge sigh of relief.
It was crazy that he said that to her. And then he just shut down and she was like, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. Naomi, we're Team Naomi.
Team Naomi. For people that are Team Shep, you're going to be super happy because yes. Bravo is bringing you a Shep spinoff.
Mm-hmm. Relationship.
Should have gone, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's got money.
He's got magazines.
We sing and he's that. Got a new show.
We literally sing that song all day.
Yeah, it's like literally what we do in Bravo HQ. You'll hear it. Mm-hmm. so he's going to be going around trying to find the love of his life. Maybe that doll will work.
And, oh, wait, what was it called? Mama?
Mama, not Mama Elsa, but Mama Ellie or something.
Yeah, Mama something. Maybe Mama will help him. When he was in the office, we did ask him about the show. So let's hear from him what it's all about.
Relationship.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Just heavy sewing. That's all there is.
Was it a hard sell to get you on board?
No. I mean, I conceived of it with Aaron from Haymaker when we were in Venice Beach. And, I mean, I'm excited. I'm nervous. It's kind of a complicated deal, right? I mean,
yeah. And
the way I wanted to do it was to just do like a straight traveling around, sort of like Anthony Bourdain, mm-hmm. and just sort of being sort of exploratory. And of course, Bravo probably doesn't think that that's, you know, they want some more seriousness and peel back the layers kind of thing.
And the goal is to find the one?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know about the one. I mean, let's be honest. I'm going to meet somebody and we're going to know each other over a 7-week period. If I think that you'd be pretty ridiculous if you thought that was enough time to think someone was the one, but maybe I'm wrong.
Some people get married after less.
Yeah, Lisa Vanderpump.
They get divorced too. But one thing I know is I need a little practice at least, because gosh, it's been a while since I've even been in a serious relationship. So maybe that's sort of the tone of the show. Like, we'll see. We shall see.
Are you worried about peeling?
So, Real Housewives of New York, Ramona's birthday party.
Woo, she almost missed.
I know. Oh my God. I can't imagine.
I can't imagine.
I could totally see having a hard time, like, getting her to the party. Because, like, she wants to do it Ramona's way.
Right. She wants to do what she wants to do.
Yeah.
I loved when her date showed up. And it was so awkward.
Oh my God, that was the worst. Because she literally turns her back on him.
I just was like, oh, this
and
poor guy.
And by the way, have we not all been there? Not even just for like a date, but where you're at a party and you're like, wait, am I in this conversation or am I not? Like, you don't know what to do.
I hate going to a party where the only person I know is the guest of honor.
And they're friends with everyone.
Right. It's like going to a wedding and you don't know anyone else really, but you know the bride or groom. And it's like, you know them, but I don't know anyone else in this room.
Right.
I'll know them really well.
Right.
Ugh, it's the worst.
Harry Dubin was
Harry
there.
Harry Dubin. Just when I think I never see that man again, here he is, popping up.
Good for Sonia, though.
I know. I loved their interaction.
Her just being like, no.
Get out of here, Harry Dubin.
Yeah.
Harry's like the itch I cannot scratch. Everywhere I go, there he is. It's like, ugh. Oh, my gosh.
And then, like, how he was trying to introduce her to this girl, and she was like, you're always trying to introduce me to, like, your girlfriends.
Right. I don't want to meet them, Harry Dubin. Ugh, so good. I also loved when, I don't know if it was Carol, was like, have you slept with Harry Dubin?
Yeah.
You know, Harry gets around.
For the record, Tinsley did not.
No, right. Tinsley has not.
The other part of this episode was the election.
The election. How you doing, Radziwill?
That's my favorite. But instead of us commenting on it,
right,
Rachel, you wanted to do something.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if our listeners were aware, but Carol wrote a blog, which is an open letter to our president, Mr. Donald Trump. And I thought it would be fun to read a few choice quotes from said blog for you all, without any commentary. Just let her speak to you.
Right. But in Rachel's voice.
But in my voice.
Do it in Carol's voice.
I don't know what Carol's voice would be. So this is, remember, to Donald Trump. Did you see us talking about you? You're this season's Johnny Depp pirate. Which isn't quite like a leg on the floor at Le Cirque, but it's not bad, my friend. You are still a star on reality TV.
That's just one of many.
Yeah. Let's see.
Oh, wait. This is one. I ran for president of the board in my building and won. Did you see that episode? It was a beautiful thing. You would have loved it. It was a landslide. The biggest win ever in the history of our building. I won the popular vote. I won the unpopular vote. I'm the smartest woman in Manhattan. I'm huge. I'm bigly. Oh, wait. Do this one. Read this one.
Why is it so hard for my friends to acknowledge I may know more than they do about politics? Why would they know about FOIA requests anyway? That is kind of, sort of, what started the infamous email scandal in the first place. I'm quick to admit the many topics they know more about than I do, like parenting, blood alcohol content, all 245 Kama Sutra positions. Carol!
Those are just some of the
choice quotes,
choice gems from that blog. For the full one, you can go to bravotv.com.
Yeah. And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. Vampire Alex McCord. But she's not a vampire. She's very nice and lovely, and we were so happy to talk to her. Well, not me. Megan got to talk to her. I was in a meeting.
It was a great, though, and I'm excited for you all to hear it. Hi guys, I'm Megan and I am here with the Real Housewives of New York OG, Alex McCord. How are you?
Life is good. We moved to Australia 2 years ago and we're just back in the States for a quick visit. I'm seeing family in Texas and then a couple days in New York. We actually leave tomorrow to go back to Australia.
Roni fans, myself included, miss you so much. How is Australia?
Australia is fantastic. Although New York City is sort of the place where I grew up as an adult, I moved here when I was 23, it's really important to constantly challenge yourself and broaden your horizons. The kids were born here, and if you're born and raised and you never leave, then you're in a bubble.
Right.
So we kind of got out of that a little bit, and we're near all of Simon's family.
Wow. So you and Simon have really great marriage. I mean, still together. That's rare in Housewives history. What's your marriage secret?
Our marriage secret is, first of all, we came into it as equals, which not everybody else did. Second, our priority is always each other. I think it was even a chapter in our book, We Were Here First, before the show, before anything else. And we always choose each other over whatever else is happening. And I think that's the secret.
So what has been your reaction watching Bethany's marriage and Ramona's marriage fall apart?
It's always sad to see marriages fall apart. Again, you've got to go into it as equals. I don't think that that was necessarily the case with Bethany and Jason. And with Ramona and Mario, oh, that just made me sad because right. I like them both.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know everything that happened in that. But I hope that they can, you know, put the bad stuff behind them and find ways to keep on living life.
Yeah. Who do you still talk to, if anyone?
I still talk to, actually, Jill. And not about the show. because we were killing each other on the show. But, right. Yeah, we talk about kids and dogs and stuff. Talk to Ramona and Sonia occasionally, Andy occasionally. That's about it.
Sometimes the show feels so different now. Do you ever watch it?
I don't watch the show at all.
Yeah. Is it like PTSD?
Well, funnily enough, I think that all the cast members do go through a kind of post-traumatic stress disorder, not from violent events, but it's emotional. It's interesting because, you know, I just got a degree in psychology now and I'm going to go to graduate school. And that has informed a lot of my studies. And, you know, when you have these tiny little in-groups, nobody outside the group can understand what's going on in the group, but it does become like Lord of the Flies.
Right. I've heard this before, and I wanted to get your thoughts, that fame can be addictive. Do you feel that's true?
Oh, absolutely. And not only with housewives, fame certainly can be addictive. There are certain personalities that, you know, whether it comes from low self-esteem or anxiety or any number of reasons, that the adulation that you get from celebrity can sometimes fill a hole for people. For me, and it's another reason why we moved to Australia, that level of celebrity is just soul-destroying. Yeah. You feel like you can't maneuver. You can't be a normal person because everyone's watching. And the great thing about being in Australia, particularly where we live just outside Byron Bay, nobody watches cable. Everybody's outside on the beach.
I was going to ask if you get a lot of, oh my God, Alex McCord.
We don't get nearly as much recognition, and that's such a good thing. It's really great to kind of just be normal people.
Right.
And sure, it happens occasionally, but also where we live is kind of like living in the Hamptons year-round. So,
Right. You
know, if someone's looking at you funny, you check and see if there's a movie star behind you.
Right. It's funny because before I worked here, I saw you once out at a bodega, and I was like, that's Alex McCord. Because you just feel like you know this person's life because we're watching, you know, just a slice of it on TV. So mm-hmm. I can imagine that has an effect. So since you have this psychology degree, care to diagnose any of the other ladies?
Oh, see, that's the thing you can't do. I mean, somebody wrote an op-ed in the New York Times about Donald Trump and got killed for it because ethically you can't diagnose somebody unless you've taken a clinical history.
Yeah, what's that called? It's like the Goldwater rule or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, no, I'm not going to venture a diagnosis. I also don't have my license yet. It's going to be either the end of this year or next year, depending on where I plug into the Australian system. So, yeah, no.
All right. For the huge fans, we have to go back a little bit. You have been on a couple of terrible trips with the other ladies. We had Scary Island and Morocco. Which was worse?
Ooh, Scary Island or Morocco? Scary Island was actually really, really, really funny until it wasn't. And suddenly we all were concerned for Kelly. And I think that was anxiety gone mad. I don't think there was anything really nefarious happening, but just, you know, Kelly's threshold for being uncomfortable is different than everyone else's. whereas in Morocco, Morocco was just mean. And Scary Island wasn't mean. Scary Island was just crazy. Between scary and mean, I'll take scary every day.
So the whole time we were talking, Francois was in the room. No idea where Johan is, by the way. I'm sure with Simon somewhere. But I felt kind of weird because I was asking her about her marriage to his dad. I mean, it's positive. They're together, and she gave a great answer, obviously. But afterwards, I asked him if he had watched the show, and, like, he hasn't. And I was like, you should. It's amazing.
I wonder, like, at what point you have to watch. Like, your mom was on this. You were so young.
Right.
And, like, your mom was on this crazy reality show. I wonder what it would be like to, like, we'll go back and watch.
Yeah.
But you guys can, because all of our episodes, including Roni Season 1, are on iTunes, available for your perusal. All right, next week, I'll be out, sadly.
Yeah, Rachel's out. I need topics to fill the empty space you'll be leaving in our hearts.
It's not very big, though. I'm very tiny.
Okay.
So mean. You see what I deal with, everyone? She's so mean to me.
You left it wide open. So tweet us at Bravo TV. Use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. Ask your burning questions.
Yes.
I'll text Rachel if I don't know the answer.
Looking fun, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me.